your heads, please. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to hear from heaven. Father God, these great people did not come to hear from me. They came to hear from you. So I thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word will go forth. Lord, they came to hear and to be healed. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that there is a spirit of understanding upon us now, that your word today is being sown on good ground, that everyone's hearts are open and ready to receive you and graft the word with meekness, dear Lord God. They will mix it with faith and they will bring forth fruit. And Lord, my prayer is that fruit will remain. In Jesus' name, amen. Repeat after me, please. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve.
And I will serve.
You know, today we're doing part two of the series, All In. All In. And the text we're looking at today is Acts 1, verses 12 to 14. And this takes place immediately after Jesus had ascended onto heaven. And, I talked to you guys that he was here 40 days after the cross, after his resurrection. And what did he do during those 40 days? We really want to look at that. And now we're going to move into the 10 days after his ascension. He was here 40, he ascended. And it was 10 days from the time he ascended to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell. So we're going to pick this up on your handout, Acts 1, verses 12 through 14. Verse 12, then apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present. Pay attention. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, okay? Not Judah that betrayed Jesus, okay? They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, watch this, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. Here's the thing I want to share with you guys, is that we as Protestants, and you say, well, Pastor, what's a Protestant? Christianity falls really into two categories, basically two. And you have Catholics, and then you have the Protestants. And so the Catholics, they've been around longer than the Protestants. And what happened, there was a guy named Martin Luther who really went through the scriptures. And he began to see that the Catholics had some practices that weren't scripturally based. Now, the Catholics, and it's not Bass Catholics Day, okay? You know, I always pray for the Catholics too, okay? But they emphasize not only the word of God, but tradition also. And so as the Protestants, we were protesting, and that's where the word Protestant came from. And so we just believe in the word of God and not, we don't look at man-made traditions as the Catholics do. And so the Catholics, as many of you know, they venerate Mary quite a bit. And so you see a lot of statues with Mary. There's even prayers to Mary. You say Hail Mary, you know, and I understand that. And so some of us believe they go a little bit too far with Mary because there's really not much scripture about Mary at all. Nothing really to support a lot of their practices. Again, it's a traditional deal. But my challenge is that I think on our side, we don't go far enough with Mary. Today is the first time I've ever taught a Mother's Day message. I always have a mother up here sharing the word of God. It's Mother's Day, right? And you guys want to hear from a mother. I mean, I'm not a mother. But it's been since last year, looking forward to this day. And I really want you guys to take another look at Mary. So we're going to look at different passages. You know, a lot of times I like to go, you know, just verse by verse all the way down. But we're going to look at different instances of Mary and just see some of the things she may have been faced with. Now, this series title is All In. And I want you to see that Mary was all in. And I'm praying that at the end, you will be motivated and inspired. And it's not just because you're a mother. I think this message really speaks to everyone, even the young people here today, okay? Amen? All right, so turn your hand out over, please, and we're going to look at several passages. And we're going to go at the beginning here, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. And verse 26 says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that was Mary's cousin, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. Say virgin. Okay, she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Now, David was the one who killed Goliath. He was a king many generations prior. 28. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, watch this, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Mary was indeed favored. She was favored. And favored also is the same Greek word as grace. And she was graced for what God has given her. And you have been graced for your assignment also. You have been favored of the Lord. I know with us, we think favors when somebody gives us the hookup. Oh, man, I got some favor. And that's good. But you also have been favored to do a particular assignment. There is something you were created to do. You have a purpose. The family you were born into, you might think it was like, God, what's up with that? Trust me, there's a reason. He chose your brother to be your brother and your sister to be your sister. There's a reason. Took me a long time to figure out mine, but there's a reason. And I can say that because my brother doesn't listen to my sermons. Okay, 29. Even if he did, I don't care. No, I'm just playing. 29. Okay, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and it will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. 33. Now, this is where I think Mary had a challenge. Listen to what the angel said, because often we'll hear something, and we hear everything through a filter based on our needs and where we are, as opposed to hearing it purely. It's one of the challenges my wife and I have had in our marriage. I say something, she hears something different. She says something, I don't know why I seem to hear her correctly. She doesn't seem to hear me. I'm just teasing. That was a joke. That was a joke. Oh, Queen said, okay, Sean. Okay. Oh, that's the problem of your household too, huh? Okay. Amen. Amen. But listen to what the angel says, and then we're going to see what Mary experienced while she was watching her son on the cross, you know, years later. Watch this. And he will reign over Israel forever. He will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, if I'm ruled by the Romans, okay, and I'm moving from one place to another, and I'm trying to, you know, under this Roman rule, hey, you mean you're going to restore Israel? We're going to become our own nation again? Going to come from under these guys forever? Bet. I can get with that. My thought, though, with that mindset, what was she thinking when Jesus was on the cross dying? We're going to get to that. 34. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. 35. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power, and that word is dunamis, and that's dynamic ability. The dynamic ability of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. 36. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but now she's in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. The praise team sang that earlier, the second song. Amen. 39. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. I love our heart. Watch this. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. I love she was all in. I'm a virgin. An angel showing up in front of me, talking about the Son of God and going to be my child and he's going to forever reign. Cool. Often when God approaches us and we get this unction, this feeling, we get afraid because we begin to look with inside and like, I'm not capable. I'm not able. I can't. No one in my family ever has. You'll be amazing what you can do. I was the first one in my family to have good credit. See, I can say these things when your family's in L.A., right? Hallelujah. And when they come, y'all be nice. I know you are. You always are nice. Thank you, Miss Kim. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Now, the thing about this, too, you know, she was going to give birth to Jesus. We'll get that in a second. But she's the only person. I want you to think about Mary today being all in. She was the only person was there at his birth and there at his death. Only person. She went through some things, but I want you to see that she was all in. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read 18 through 25. And Matthew, this is his story. Now, we're going to see it from Joseph's perspective, okay? 18, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, say this, while she was still? That means after a while she wasn't. So we say the Virgin Mary, or it said the Virgin Mary. I disagree. I don't think she's a virgin anymore. Michael Jr., the comedian, was talking about her son, James. We're going to get to that in a moment, okay? But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, so ladies, wait until you get married. Stay, maintain your virginity until marriage. And there's a reason for that. Who's here today? Okay, we'll talk about that at some service. Okay, yeah. It's important. Trust me. And sometimes we think God is trying to keep us from having fun and enjoying ourselves. And God is trying to protect you. Now, I'm not holier than thou. I was my father's a pastor, and I was every girl. But people are like, you got a lot of nerves, Pastor Tony. It's your childhood. I know. But I've learned some things. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. 19, Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. Say good man. That's going to be important in just a bit, okay? He was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. Now, that's an amazing guy, because I think most brothers, like, put her on blast. Isn't that? Yeah, put on blast, just like, bam, what you doing? Oh, Holy Spirit? Anyway, and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. 20, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. I would have been. I got a wife all of a sudden telling me, a fiance saying, look, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. You know, maybe you're not well. You got some mental. I'm going to pray for you. You know, my mama and moms, they was right about you, but, you know. I should have listened. No. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, and for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Verse 23, which was Isaiah, and you know we quote that during Christmas. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which I think last Sunday in your prayer, you were right, Emmanuel, God with us. I love the way Elder Abraham, Dr. Elder Abraham prays. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And they would call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. 24, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. You're talking about being all in. It's a faith walk. Yeah. 25, but he did not, say he did not have sexual relationships with her until. So that means at some point he did, her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Now that's going to be important because we're going to see in a moment that Mary was widowed. We believe she was widowed because Joseph wasn't in the picture no longer. And I'm thinking Joseph died. You know, he could have abandoned him, but he says he was a good man. And if he could handle her being pregnant by the Holy Spirit and deal with the public ridicule and shame, surely he would have hung in there with raising the kids and all that. I can't see him. So he must have died. So now you think about this for a moment. Mary was a widow, and I'm going to show you in a moment, and she had a minimum of 7 children. And she played all in. So when you start to think you got it hard, because many of us is like, God didn't left me. I mean, you lose your job and then you lose your mind. Just a job, you can get another one. You had one before that one that you lost, right? Yeah. Everything you've ever experienced in life that's been difficult, he's brought you through because you're still standing right here. Amen. 7 children. And no husband. And a patriarchal or in a male, what was it, James Brown? It's a man's world. Isn't that James Brown, right? Yeah, in a man's world. 7. And we're going to talk in a moment because there was tension between Jesus and the rest of his siblings. I'm going to show you in scripture. And that's why I thought it was funny with Michael Jr. talking about Jesus and James. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13. Let's get into this, okay? Here we go. When Jesus had Matthew 13, verse 53, Matthew 13, verse 53, okay. When Jesus had finished telling these stories and illustrations, he left that part of the country. He was doing some preaching, some ministry, right? Verse 54, now watch this. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown. Now you know what's going to happen when he goes back home. Watch this. When he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and said, where does he get this wisdom and the power to do miracles? See, it's hard because you see people in one light, and it's hard to move beyond that. One of the biggest things that's blessed me with, I'm telling you, just rock my world. I mean, in a positive sense, just blows me, I'm amazed at my 2 sons, Brian, well, I got 3, but the 2 that are here, Brian and Lavelle. 9 out of 10 times when Lavelle calls me, addresses me, he calls me pastor. Even if it's just me and him watching a game or just doing something. I never ask him. Because, see, sometimes he can remember when I whooped his behind. Punishment. You can't play video games for 6 months. That was that kind of dad. But I back off after a week, okay? I was talking. But to still say pastor. And the same with Brian. Because often those you're familiar with, they have a hard time seeing you. You think about it for a moment. It's difficult. Some of you mothers have a hard time seeing your married sons as he's married now. Man shall leave his mother and father. Stay out their business. All right. 55. Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter's son. See, people always want to minimize you. He's just a carpenter's son, and we know Mary. Watch this. And we know Mary. We know Mary. Watch this. His mother and his brothers. James, that's what Michael Jr. is speaking of, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Now, here's the thing. These guys didn't believe in Christ. They didn't believe in Jesus. But later on after his resurrection, they did. Because who do you think wrote the book of James? The book of Jude was written by his brother, Jude. He said, there's hope for me and my family still. Glory to God. Okay. Now watch verse 56. All of his sisters, say sisters. That's plural, has an S, so we know there's at least two. Could be more, we don't know, at least two. So now can we go back to verse 55, please? Let's do some math here. James, say one. Joseph, two. Simon, three. Judas, four. And his sister, five. Other sister, six. And Jesus makes seven kids. All his sisters live right here among us, 56. All his sisters live right here among us. Where did he learn all these things? How could he, we know his family. We know James. We seen them kids, them little bad kids. How could he? And later on, the word was said when he was calling for an apostle, how can anything good come out of Nazareth? And some people look at where you come from. Now, you got to think this is Mary, so obviously this is not the Beverly Hills part of town. So I want you to see Mary in a different light, that in spite of all of this, now, I done lost my husband. I got one son running around telling everybody he's the son of God. I got my other kids I'm trying to manage. Now, I want you to think about the tension with that right there, because if Jesus is doing all this good stuff, how's everybody else feeling? But let me get real for a moment. Think about it. My son Brian was the one, I'm telling you, I'm just saying this. I know I had to spank him at least twice. I don't recall that, though. He was just one of those kids. I just didn't have a problem. Lavelle and David, good Jesus, my arms would get tired. It was like they kept me in shape for the workout. But then later on, David said to me, it was difficult living in Brian's shadow. Think about it for a moment. Now, we believe, and we all kind of agree as a family, David is the most intelligent in the family. But even with all his intelligence and his silliness, boy, it works my nerves to this day. He does. And Jack, look what he posts on Facebook and stop showing me that. And it's always something nutty or silly or witty, and I don't get his wit. Okay, I'm just, David. But even with all of his all of that, he still had a challenge with his older brothers. So I can only imagine the tension that existed in his family here with Mary. 57, and they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told him, watch what Jesus says. A prophet is honored everywhere. Say everywhere. Everywhere. Except in his own hometown and among his own family. He's not honored in his family. So Jesus wasn't honored in his family. But he kept going. He kept doing what he had to do. After our first few trips to Africa, and we've taken teams, and I go to our family Thanksgiving or Christmas or something over in Torrance, and everybody's there, all my cousins, everybody. And one of my little silly cousins, Craig, he come up to me, dude, you over there running around Africa with one of them loincloths, huh? And it's a joke to them. It's a joke. They don't see me as a Tony, a pastor, and all this. It's Tony, what you, are you back? When you in town? What you doing over there? You doing your ministry thing, huh? Yeah. You have no clue. He was honored everywhere except with his own family. 58. And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. They didn't believe. So when you think your family doesn't believe in you, hey, you in good company. You with Jesus. Quit even worrying. I don't even, I don't even try. And I pray for my family and their pastors that they like and they esteem. And my mama got her church and all that. And she told me, I shared that with you before, baby. You know, if I lived in Corona, I'd come to your church. I'm like, thank God you don't live in Corona. Because it's even after service, I don't want to be critiqued. And then I get enough of that on Tuesday with you guys on the programming call, and it's like, how was Pastor's sermon? We get to that list, and it's, oh, that lived too long here. You could have, and it's cool. I understand it. I can take constructive criticism. But dang, Mom. And you got to learn to manage them for you guys, too. Now, you guys can be guilty of that also. But you're not honoring and respecting those in your family. You got to manage that familiarity. Bishop Ed Smith, I travel with him. We travel internationally. I travel nationally with him, travel locally with him. And even this year, we stayed. Did we go to D.C. this year? Is that last year? I don't know. I'd go so much. And we stayed in the same hotel room. I really get to know him. And after a while, you kind of start hearing the same sermons as he's doing different conferences and all that. And what I've learned to do, before he ministers, I physically put my hands on my ears, and I say this. I say, Lord, give me ears to hear what your spirit is saying through your man of God. I don't want to get to the point where, there's been two or three times, he'll be doing a message, and he'll look at me, and I say, 2 Samuel 6, and I know him. And, I would answer, when people write something, he would sign it, and not once has he ever corrected any of them, because you get to know him. But I have to maintain, I can't get familiar. Then I'm going to mess up my blessing. You got to manage that. That's why I commended Lavelle and Brian, just with the way to honor me. It's so important. It's so important. And if you guys have gotten that way with your, I'm cool at New Day. If y'all feeling that towards me, I haven't picked it up from anybody, really, in 8 years we've been doing this. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've had that problem before, you need to repent. You really need to repent about that and go before the Lord. Okay, let's wrap this up. John 7. Now we get to John, and watch this. Going back to getting attention for between Jesus and his brothers. John 7, verses 1 through 9. Verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled around Galilee. He wanted to stay out of Judea where the Jewish leaders were plotting his death. Okay, and when we go to Israel, you guys will go next year. You'll see the distance, and we'll do that another time. Verse 2. But soon it was time for the Jewish festival of shelters, and Jesus' brothers, say his brothers, they said to him, watch this, leave here and go to Judea where your followers can see your miracles. They knew the problem he would have in Judea. Where's the love, man? Watch this. 4. You can't become famous if you hide like this. If you can do such wonderful things, show yourself to the world. Kind of attitude. Now, I'm sure Mary heard some of this. What did she say? And you got to manage that because you don't want to, favor Jesus. You don't want to favor one. If each of your kids that got a little special gift or whatever and something significant, I understand that. If I want to talk philosophical and theology, I talk to my son David. The boy is brilliant. Brian's compassion and love for the whole world is amazing. And Lavelle, in that analytical mind, he just fixed stuff. In fact, Corbin, just a minute ago, sound guy said, Pastor Tony, Lavelle saved us. He's just brilliant like that. But Lavelle likes sports. Brian and David don't. So if I'm going to talk sports, I go to Lavelle. Even though Lavelle's not my biological son, I have more in common with him than my other two. We do. But you got to be careful to manage that, because now you got Jesus doing miracles and the other two just probably regular average Joe Blows. Put yourself in that situation. I want you to think about Mary now, because she was all in. And when the angel said to her, blessed and highly favored, she had no idea she was going to be a widow trying to manage seven kids and with some tension between them. Look at verse 5. For even his brothers didn't believe in him. Just let that sink in for a second. You mad because people don't believe in you? It happens. Verse 6. Jesus replied, now is not the right time for me to go, but you can go anytime. The world can't hate you, but it does hate me because I accuse it of doing evil. You go on. I'm not going up to the festival because my time has not yet come. After saying these things, Jesus remained in Galilee. Wow. Think about the tension. But see, here's the hope I have, because after he rose from the grave, his brothers knew who he was. They understood. Last passage, John 19, verse 25 to 27. Standing near the cross with Jesus' mother. This is Jesus on the cross now, okay? Now we're on the cross. Standing near the cross with Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Hear about his name, Mary. 26. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, that was John, okay? His disciple John. He said to her, dear woman, here is your son, pointing to John. Now, Jewish tradition says the next one should have been James, the next one in charge. If I'm about to go, the next one, you know, rises up. But he didn't pass his mother off to his brother James. He passed him off to his disciple. He passed her off to his disciple John. Interesting. 27. And he said to the disciple John, here is your mother. And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Where was James? His brother's on the cross. I just wonder, where was he? Where's the rest of them? Mary was there. Now put yourself in her shoes for a minute. What is she experiencing? Angel said, you're going to free Israel, restore Israel, and your reign going to be forever, and you're on this cross, and you're dying. Where are my kids? John's got to take care of me? This is Mary. But she was all in. And she hung in there, even though it looked crazy. Because at the beginning, I read to you the book of Acts. Well, she was right there in the upper room, just like Jesus said to go to Jerusalem and wait. And she was still there waiting, united with the others, in prayer. But keep in mind, too, his brothers were there also. His family was there. So for you guys that have gone through something traumatic, hard, difficult, family just torn apart, a lot of tension, a lot of fighting, there's hope in a resurrection power of Christ. You just got to play all in, no matter how it looks. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. So maybe my family doesn't believe in me. And financially, you know, me and Jackie depend on donor support to all the trips that we do. And let's just say they're on the low side of the giving. $25 to $50. And other people give a $500 or $1,000 for someone to comment. But I'm not bothered because I think about Mary. There was a reconciliation with that family. So much so that her son James had a conversion, had a change of heart, and wrote the book of James. Other son Jude had a serious conversion and wrote the book of Jude. And Jude called himself a bond servant, a slave of Christ. God is no respecter of persons. And what he did for that family, he'll do for yours too. Amen? Amen. Amen. Bow your heads, please. Bow your heads.